This is part one of a discussion with RCA staff members. Part two will be released next week, and we'll also have two other staff members featured the week after that. I hope you enjoy it as we have a discussion about rural challenges and post-election 2020.
Welcome to the Representing Rural Podcast. I am Candace Williams, and today our guests are two RCA staff members, Candy Webb and Matt Grandin. How y'all doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Thanks, Q. That's very good.
So today we're just going to have a discussion about post-election 2020 and rural challenges that we still have today. And they very much so need attention. So education this year has, you know, it's been just not what any of us expected it or even envisioned that it would be. Giving you all feedback on our current challenges and get your opinions on how our children have been able to, and our teachers, our educators have been able to wade the waters of the unknown.
Well, for me, I can speak for my sisters, on behalf of my sisters and my nephews, because thankfully my daughter has graduated, but my sister's household has given now for a second time an upheaval because their son, one son was quarantined because his teacher tested positive, and now the other son. So, and they don't have internet at their house, nor do they have access to good internet at their house. So they're falling behind. I mean, every day that they can't be there, they don't have access to, and they fall behind.
So still, we're in the second 9 weeks now, right? Mm-hmm. And still, some families still in our rural communities do not have good internet connection.
They've got the Chromebooks. Gave them the tool, but they didn't finish giving them all they needed in their bag.
Can't do anything with that.
Well, where I live, it's slightly different. We do have a little better internet connection up there in North Central Arkansas, except for out in the very extreme edges. And I think the biggest challenges of the school is the kids that are doing the distance learning and are being quarantined just aren't keeping up with the kids that are actually attending the school, because, you know, the superintendent said it best. He said that there's no way you can compete or make up for the fact that there's money and support, a support system here at school per class, per teacher, if you're attending school, than if you're just getting the assignments and taking the distance learning stuff at home. So those students, they fall further behind than the students that are at school. And he actually was kind of worried about, you know, if next year, what's next year going to look like? Because, you know, there has to be some catch up.
Yeah.
You know, for kids to graduate, you know, if you do this 2 years in a row, what's the third year going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
How far back is the child's education going to suffer over this time period? So I think any ways we can increase the ability for a kid to learn in distance learning, where it's a parent involvement or just some sort of tutoring program, I think would be a good plus.
Yeah.
But, and we haven't worked it out yet, obviously, so.
Yeah. I was just going to say, part of the problem with the kids that are in small communities with no internet is they often have parents who are undereducated. Mm-hmm. So you can't serve a support for your kid. Yeah. Where, you know, before, if you didn't understand your homework, you could go the next day and talk to the teacher, or you could, your mom and dad maybe could help you figure out something. But when it's all online, some of our kids are zero paper. I think
ours are
y'all are zero paper. Mm-hmm. Gavin and Gage are zero paper. Well, you know,
you say undereducated. I've been to college. I've graduated from college. But when my son brings home Oliver or team homework, how long has it been since I've done it?
Well, that's what I mean. You're you.
It takes me
maybe
it takes me,
a,
it takes
right
me and him an hour on Google to figure out what's going on.
Well, and I think that might be where there was a lot of failure with the school, because there are homeschool mm-hmm. tools that you can use to help with your homework. But my sister and her husband were not given any of those resources. It was just like, here's your Chromebook. Everything's going to be fine. No worries. And then now both boys spend 2 weeks out of school because of COVID, and they don't have any clue how to help.
Now, I know this is happening in my region, but there's a Wet Springs, when their school got closed down.
Salvation.
Yeah. The community's managed to keep the main building up and in great repair, kept the broadband up and everything. And there are some kids that come there and do their schooling there at the gym, mm-hmm. in a classroom there, and they can stay as far apart as they want and work on their computer and get their schoolwork done there in a nice quiet environment with high-speed internet, which I think is great. If there's any other communities that have buildings that are, because I know the fiber optic lines run to them because they had to right before Act 60, they had to update them.
Right.
So it shouldn't take too much to get those buildings back up and running.
Perrin has internet and nice Wi-Fi in their community center, and that's thanks to our county library. They host the spot and they pay for that bill, so the community is not burdened with it. And then Bryant, of course, they brought out a whatever the schools are offering now for Wi-Fi. So there's that in the parking lot as well. But again, it's in the parking lot. You have to, if you need to use that for your schoolwork, you sit 8 hours in the parking lot.
Yeah, the car is not a substitute for the classroom.
Oh my goodness. My thing is, I really wish, but it was so, the messages were mixed this summer, but that was the time that our state, our school districts, but the school district are, under authority or leadership of the state entity, that they would have spent that time preparing, so the children that chose to do virtual, that they would really truly be served, and it wouldn't seem like so much of a burden and something that was an afterthought. Because our children are missing out. And I think I've said this to both of you all, or you probably heard it as well, that some parents are thinking about making their child or their children repeat their grade because they feel like they're missing that much during this year. And it's sad. It's sad because I feel like we could have done better. We could have done better for our children. So broadband. Candy, you kind of touched on broadband. We know that there's a Rural Connect program that the CARES Act Committee, Arkansas's CARES Act Committee, that they put millions of dollars into. But of course, all of that money has to be spent by the end of this year, which puts serious constraints on the rural communities that need that money and need that infrastructure the most. So Candy, could you tell us about the broadband? Well, you kind of touched on it already.
Well, in Perrin, and Lonsdale is another small community that is benefiting I've not heard anything otherwise that we're moving forward and there's not been any major hiccups with the internet going in. So I believe it's First Electric and Aristotle are the two that are working to put it in those two areas. So, I mean, I'm pretty excited to have, I mean, everybody will be able to have it, not just the community center, or have access to.
That's great. So that was funded. So Lonsdale, and what did you say?
Lonsdale and Perrin, and there's another community, but I'm not.
A smaller community.
Yes, a smaller community. And I mean, it was specifically, our county judge specifically targeted those communities that were outside Benton and Bryant, not just those, areas closer to town.
We need to talk to him.
He's wonderful.
What did he do? How did, maybe he needs to talk to other county judges because I wish
my county
judge had done it because I have the worst.
Our county judge is a grassroots kind of guy.
He
started out a small business owner and worked his way up. He was actually my first boss.
Okay.
When I got my first grown up adult job.
Wow. Matt, how's it going in the North Central region?
Searcy County applied and received a, I think it's $6.3 or $6.4 million. But the company they're working through, Windstream, had to turn it away because they didn't have the resources to get it done in the time allotment. It all had to be spent and in by the end of the year. And they didn't have the resources to not only purchase, but to install that amount I think it was the whole county that was getting the service, not just a few towns. So I don't know if that made a difference or what, but so they had to actually turn the money away. It's unfortunate. I mean, you'd think they wouldn't give such a tight time constraint on it, but because I know Searcy County needs it pretty bad. I mean,
do you know if they'll be able to reapply at the first of the year so that? I mean, was it a fiscal year issue? Is that what the problem is?
I think those were the stipulations of the CARES Act money, like all together, like it has to be spent by the end of this year. But I'm hoping there's some kind of waiver or something or
extension
can do, because a lot of our communities that needs you know that money.
Like, they have not been able on the extension. So
they what?
They were told no.
Oh wow!
So I'm pretty sure it has to be spent by the end of the year. And they have to have proof that it went in, because they can't just give the money to the...
Well, maybe someone's eyeballs will open and they'll see that it's not better and you need to give a more reasonable timeline.
I hope so.
I need to make sense.
Because they didn't award the money till just 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. My goodness. And that's really fast. You have to already have your plan in place.
I think that was the problem. A lot of these counties that knew it was coming up already had a plan in place, and they already had companies they were working with, stuff ready to go, like over around Perrin. Whereas I think Searcy County just found out about it and they applied and they're we really need this. How do we get this? How do we make it happen? So they worked with Windstream and they got the grant.
They were approved, but they couldn't.
They couldn't get it all put together in enough time to get it in through the end of the year, so they had to decline it.
Well, I hope someone from the broadband office in Arkansas hears this, because we need more outreach for one, because some, like Matt was saying, some communities didn't even know about it until it was, you know, too late. And a lot of these smaller communities, they don't have the capacity to apply for these grants and do certain things. So we need a little more grace and help from the state to apply for these things and make sure that those resources are being spent in our communities that need them the most. Okay, so our infrastructure. I was driving through, I usually take a very rural road on my way to Little Rock from the Delta rather than taking 40. So I stopped at a gas station, and the water that came out of the sink in the restroom was literally brown. Flushing the toilet, it was literally brown. A lot of rural communities in the Delta, that I'm from the Elang area, so I've seen water, you know, that was discolored before, but not to that extent. And a community that's right up the road from me, they dealt with water issues to the point where the whole city was without water for weeks. So this is very much an issue. Our water systems are aging, and a lot of our rural communities, when it comes to loans, I guess those water loans, the loans for the water systems, that's something that some of them stray away from because they don't see themselves being able to pay for them. So What is your take, Candy and Matt, on like our water systems and in our rural communities, and how do you feel like the powers that be could help us?
Like anything, there's been some improvements in materials over the last 30 years, and you know, water systems in every community need not only to be updated but also to be maintained. When you have some lean years for the city, or the town is declining in population, what happens first is they might let some employees go, or they might try and cut back on maintenance on some things. The same thing that happened to public schools whenever their budget drops. You know what? We probably need to service that air conditioner on the gym, but we really don't have the money for it this year. We'll have to get it next year. And then the next year it's worse. And eventually those systems, they fail. And that, I think that's what's happening in a lot of towns with the declining population, or if they're even just maintaining. Because, I mean, the cost of materials, I don't know if you noticed the cost of construction materials right now, but it's went up probably 30-40% over the, depending on what it is, mm-hmm. over the past just year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So a rural community is not going to have that budgeted in their budget, nor could they have known or budgeted for it. The only thing that would save them was if they had a surplus that they could save for emergencies and say, all right, here, we're putting this to that. But most of these communities are running on the edge anyway, mm-hmm. so that's not going to happen. The only way I see it is if there is grant money available or a low interest loan that doesn't have an immediate like payback or a hard line payback on it, because I don't think, you know, I don't think that they're not going to be able to solve the problem themselves.
Right.
What you say is absolutely true. And having worked with a rural water system, I used to work at mm-hmm. Perrin before Central Arkansas Water took them over. Something that small communities need to know is that when you go to those funding agencies for loans, that is one of those few loan agencies that's not out to see you fail. Mm-hmm. They are graceful. They are lenient. They are open to help. Arkansas Rural Water Association, you couldn't ask for a better group of people if you just reach out.
That's the thing.
If your community isn't reaching out for help, they don't know you need it.
Okay.
Most of the time, you know, you go to there's a whole big water conference that happens in Hot Springs every year.
Oh.
And you hear all kinds of horror stories about small communities that have breaks in their lines. And if you have a water system that's water and sewer, it's a whole new bucket of trouble. Mm. But the agencies that are out there, especially the rural water agency, they are there to help, because they don't get paid if they're not doing their job, and they can't do their job if they don't know you need. So communities need to be aware that there are resources there. Those loans are low interest, and there is a period of I'm not even gonna say the years, because it's quite a few years that you can get a deferred payment on.
Yeah.
And then if you can't make the payment, they don't just come seize your property. I mean, that's not how mm-hmm. it works. So the biggest problem with the rural communities and their water systems is the health department.
Okay.
They move slow. Oh. A lot of violations happen because you don't do things in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. So if you're not doing the things in a timely manner, then you get a penalty. And then it's just like a snowball effect.
Wow.
So you have to be sure you're on target with the health department and you are using the resources that are available. So if you're not reaching out, then they can't help you.
They don't know. That's good. That's good. So it's good to have someone with your experience working like all those years you did. That's awesome news. So you have to reach out, you guys.
Some systems are, some communities are well water and not city water. And driving through, you may or may not know. And with the water being the color that you said, my guess would be they have a well, mm-hmm. and it's an irony system. And that's a whole other issue.
That's not seen that much. Is it like a city to have a well system, or is it?
There's not a lot of them in Arkansas that have groundwater.
Okay.
It's above, they have like lakes. It's okay. Usually mm-hmm. what they have is the lakes, or they, some of them, Perrin started buying water from Garland County.
Okay.
And then 7, 8, maybe 9 years ago, Garland County shut the water off because they had a main break, and Perrin was without water.
Wow.
For a week. And I mean, we ran dry. And Jamie Mullins, who is a great resource for all things rural water, started the ball rolling for Perrin to have its own water system. On a Sunday, whatever legislature needed to sign the paperwork, she got the paperwork signed. So if you have a water system that needs some guidance, you have an RCA member.
We do.
And Jamie, that would be, I'm sure, quite pleased to offer guidance.
Okay, Jamie, she just threw your name out there.
I did, so. Jamie. I did. She is a well.
I may be contacting you.
She's a well of information.
About 9 or 10 years ago, our whole region got put on a regional water system, and this was all flagshipped by this really nice guy. I cannot remember his name to save my life, but they got all the grant money together. They got all the signees from all the communities that had their own water supplies, and they made a whole network so that one system going dry or getting low wouldn't keep water from anybody. And I know Valley Springs has its own water supply because it's called Valley Springs. It's a big spring that supplies water to the area there. But they tied in these huge water towers all through the area. If you, I mean, if you drive by up there, you'll see two or three of them there. Brand new water towers, or they were 10 years ago. And that's a whole regional water system now. And I'm thankful to say we don't have very many water issues anymore. So,
That's you using your tools to make whatever you need happen. Yeah.
That one guy, he spearheaded the whole thing. And Jamie, I wish I could remember his name, but I can't off the top of my head.
Jamie and her husband spearheaded that for their original water system. Jamie really pushed that through, and she has a ton of resources that she can offer.
Wow.
And she's pretty generous with her knowledge and time.
That's what I've gathered from Jamie. So Jamie, I probably will be calling you regarding water systems in rural Arkansas.
You're welcome, friend.
So our roads, issue one did pass. And I guess, well, the controversy around it was I-30. Because everyone knew that I-30 was a big part. We'll get a chunk of that money to start out. But I believe the Supreme Court said that funds couldn't go toward that because it wasn't for a four-lane highway. I think that's what it was. But anyways, it passed. So that tax is now permanent. So I know in my part of the state, our roads are trash. They're terrible. I have had to replace so many tires and rims, you know, because you'll drive through one day, the next day a hole will be somewhere you didn't know it was, and it's deeper than it looks, and it's very taxing on vehicles. So how are roads in rural central Arkansas and in rural north central Arkansas?
I believe right before the Clinton administration, right during, there was a tax passed as well. And they updated all the touristy or beautification roads.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And my area runs through Highway 7 and 65. And a lot of the roads up there are in still pretty good shape because they were updated and maintained. And I'm not sure that tax is still on the books, but I think it is. And it's supposed to go to roads and road maintenance. I don't know why they would be ignoring roads in other parts of the state, but... you know, it's not something, but we do have our share of bad ones. We've had a lot of landslides the last couple of years. Highway 7 has slid off the mountainside, 123, and I forget the name of that little road out toward between Snowball and Whit Springs, but it slid off the mountain. There's a couple of them, and they've been working on them and trying to fix them, but maintenance is always an issue, whenever the roads are in pretty good shape. So
now RDOT has this permanent fund to make sure our rural roads are in better condition. So we're going to hold you accountable, RDOT, for that. I guess I don't understand like all the ins and outs of the construction and what's all involved, but there's a road that I drive on every day, 318 in Phillips County, in South Phillips County. And that's, you know, one of the terrible roads I was referring to. And we haven't received much more than patches on that road. Like, they'll put a patch here, next day that patch is gone. You know, so it's at the point where that road needs to be done totally over. So, again, RDOT, if I have to send emails, and the road, is it 44, 49, 20, down towards Melwood, Arkansas? Yeah, that's another road that we need your help on.
That concludes part one. I hope you all enjoyed it. And now we will move into the Rural Community Alliance Rural Power Moves for this week. The first Rural Arkansas Power Move for this week would be, if you have time on Friday, I hope you all tune into our first RCA pitch competition. It will be broadcast live on RCA's Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Rural Community Alliance. That's all one word. We would love for you all to be on and to watch, as we have 8 participants, 4 adults, 4 youth, and we're very excited about it. Once again, that'll be on Friday, November the 20th at 6 p.m. live on RCA's Facebook page. The second Rural Arkansas Power Move would be to give yourself some grace during this time. I know it can become consuming, it can become overwhelming, but just if you have to take a break, if it's taking a walk, if it's, you know, doing something that will give you peace during this time, because there is, just so much. So just give yourself some time to take care of you, okay? And our last Rural Arkansas Power Move for this week would be to wear a mask. And I hope you all will adhere or continue to adhere to the CDC guidelines as it pertains to COVID-19. The past week in Arkansas, we saw a spike like none other. And it's expected that we'll see another one after Thanksgiving. So just do your part. By just following those CDC guidelines. Until next time, you all take care.